Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, yeah. What's going on, DMV? You know who it is. Youngest in Charge Movement, Linnell Willingham, here with you live and local on 106.7 The Fan, and always streaming live nationally on the free Odyssey app. Ride with me as I take you up to 10 o'clock here on this Wednesday night edition of Overtime. CBS Sports Radio coming up, following myself. You hear Bart Winkler. Right now, though, want to get right into it. Big time news around the bend. The Commanders officially set to meet with Jaden Daniels and Drake May next week for top 30 visits. We're just 15 days out from night one, round one of the NFL draft. So we'll talk all things burgundy and gold throughout the show here this evening. Want to start with a quick Nats recap, though. If you were listening to the postgame, they told the story just the way it was. 7-1, the Nats have their two-game winning streak snapped, and the bats went cold here this afternoon. And that's something that is honestly a pretty big surprise if you've watched the Nats throughout the start of this season. Joey Gallo, really the only guy, or not really, literally the only guy to get on the board for Washington. He went yard in the second inning off of Hicks, and that was really all she wrote in terms of the scoring for the Washington Nationals. They fall 7-1 at the hands of the San Francisco Giants. Tough second start for Patrick Corbin. Davey Martinez leaving him out there for 5 2/3. Ugly. 11 hits given up, 7 runs, and just 2 strikeouts for Patrick Corbin on just 85 pitches. So it was a rough day at the office for Corbin. The bullpen, though, I would say, did a darn good job in relief of Patrick Corbin. Derek Law, Tanner Rainey, both doing their best to keep this at just 7 runs. They were pretty darn good, and they wrapped up the rest of the game for D.C. But Patrick Corbin, 0-2 to start the young season for the Washington Nationals, and an ERA of 8.44. Horrendous start for Patrick Corbin to this year. Starting pitching has been one of the big storylines for the Nationals here in the early portion of the season. I talk about it each and every night here on Overtime, how important it is for them to get 5 innings at least out of their starters. Patrick Corbin able to go 5 this afternoon, but their winning streak snapped. The bats went cold. As I mentioned yesterday, we were talking about Trey Lipscomb and how impactful he was, going 3 for 5 from the plate. C.J. Abrams belted a home run. Not today. Bats struggling for the Washington Nationals. Getaway day for the Curly W's as they will continue their West Coast road trip coming up on Friday, I believe, is the next time we will see them in action. Yep, Friday, 2:40 first pitch against the Oakland A's. They'll play 3 against the A's before having 3 against the Dodgers. They'll return home next Friday for the Houston Astros. So that should be good to watch. And make sure you're tuned into The Fan all season long for our coverage of Washington Nationals baseball. Jake Irvin set to be on the bump the next time the Washington Nationals are in action. That'll be Friday against the Oakland Athletics for a 3-game weekend series. So make sure you're keeping it locked on that. Caps had a huge win last night. We were actually on the air last night while the game was going on. They are back right in the thick of the playoff race in the Eastern Conference with their win last night. The Nationals move back into the wild card spot. Ovechkin becoming the first NHL player with 18 30-goal seasons. Him and Dylan Strome lit the lamp last night for D.C. And it was one of those games where you knew Washington had to have it. I made the joke earlier today as I was on with Chris Russell. You hope that you can play the Detroit Red Wings every damn game. Six-game losing streak for the Caps before last night. Their last victory was against those Detroit Red Wings, and they had their number last night. It was impressive to watch. Charlie Lindgren, masterful performance. He struggled a little bit during that six-game losing streak, but getting right back to his good ways, man. 42 saves last night for old Chucky Lindgren, as the Caps like to call him. And it was fascinating to watch because you knew going into the game the high-stakes set of circumstances for both of these teams. We gave you the numbers yesterday via AroundThePuck.com. I always keep forgetting what the name of this outlet is that was providing us all of our stats yesterday and the playoff percentages. MoneyPuck.com. Good gracious. I mess it up every time I say it. MoneyPuck.com had it as the biggest game of the year last night. 40-point percentage swing if the Red Wings won the game, and a 33-point swing for the Caps if they were able to get the W. They win by a score to 2-1, and the Caps move past Detroit for the conference's second wild card spot. And they also snapped that six-game losing streak, as we mentioned. On the flip side for Detroit, losers of six out of their last eight. They were hopeful that they would end an eight-year playoff drought. That not going to happen. Not looking likely that it's going to happen after they fall yesterday 2-1 to the Capitals. Right now, Caps have an opportunity to secure a spot if they can finish ahead of the Islanders for third place in that Metropolitan Division. History on the line here for the Caps. If they miss the postseason again this year, it'll be the first time they missed the postseason in consecutive years since 06-07 when Ovi was in his first 2 years in the league. Charlie Lindgren talking postgame last night saying it felt like a do-or-die game. Hell yeah, it did. And you can tell by the energy in the arena and just how hard the guys were playing. Getting TJ Oshie back certainly helps things as well. It feels like he has been the heartbeat for this squad. And I was proud about last night's win for the Caps for multiple different reasons, but for them to hold on and finish, that's been the big Achilles heel for them during this six-game losing streak. They've had leads in several of those games, but unable to close things out in the second and third period. But last night, they were able to do so. Caps going to have tonight off. It means nothing, though, if they go out and choke Thursday against Buffalo. And we're hoping that's not the case. But as we get geared up for the stretch run of the season here and we look at the final few games here for the Caps, all of them going to matter. The big game that I've got circled, and I think it's going to come right down to the wire. Caps season finishes as follows. They're at Buffalo on Thursday. They're home for Tampa Bay and Boston on Saturday and Monday. And then Tuesday, April the 16th, next Tuesday, all on the road in the city of brotherly love against the Flyers. That game very well may determine who ends up punching their ticket to the postseason in that Metropolitan Division in the season finale against the Philadelphia Flyers. So make sure you keep it locked here on the Fan to hear all the Caps hockey action. They're back in the postseason, though, after last night's 2-1 victory over the Detroit Red Wings. Back in the postseason for now. Mentioned it at the top of the show. 15 days out from night one, round one of the 2024 NFL Draft. We all know the Washington Commanders on the clock, under the microscope, and a lot of decisions left to be made between now and two Thursdays from now as to what they're going to do in the draft. Consensus says they take a quarterback at number two, but you all know how I do radio. We don't buy into the consensus. It is lying season, 110%. Everything you hear right now coming out surrounding the Commanders and their intentions in the draft, take it with a grain of salt. I'm not saying don't believe anything, but don't believe everything, right? It's the best way that I could ultimately put that. News coming out earlier this afternoon at about 1 o'clock, 1:30 p.m. Eastern time. Ian Rappaport, NFL insider for the NFL Network, officially coming out and saying that the Commanders are set to meet with Jaden Daniels and Drake May next week for top 30 visits. He elaborated on that earlier today. I'll take a listen.
Yeah, the Washington Commanders are going to use every second possible that goes into making this decision. The reason I say that is because as of right now, they have not yet met for a top 30 visit with either the quarterbacks they are presumably considering, Drake May or Jaden Daniels. The deadline to do those visits is a week from today, next Wednesday. That actually is when Drake May is coming in. The Commanders having their potential number two overall selection come in on the last day. So the North Carolina quarterback going to be in on the 16th. Then he's going to have a top 30 visit with the Commanders on the 17th. All important visit. And you know, so much goes into picking a quarterback. It's not just the film. It's the interviews. It's the prep. It's everything you glean from all of these in-person meetings. A big one looms on Wednesday. And then for the LSU quarterback, Jaden Daniels, of course, the former Heisman Trophy winner. He also is in consideration for the number two slot for the Washington Commanders. He also is going to be in the building next week. He flies in on Monday, going to meet with the Commanders on Tuesday. So presumably, you get through next Wednesday and the Commanders will have all the information they need to make one of the most important decisions in the 2024 draft.
Now, Ian Rappaport telling us what we all knew was going to happen, right? And I've been saying it here for the past couple of days. They are going to leave no stone unturned when it comes to trying to figure out who they are going to select at quarterback. And that's how they should be doing things. They will do their due diligence. They will dot their I's. They will cross their T's. This top 30 visit is just another formality in this process. Now, one thing that I do want to talk about here for the Commanders is their top 30 visit tracker. And we've had different outlets across try to, you know, figure out who Washington is going to bring in on top 30 visits. The quarterback position is obviously what we care about the most, but there are other positions of need that they'll meet with on these top 30s as well. Hogshaven does a tremendous job. Scott Jennings, Ken Johannesson, my guy Jamal Forrest, they all do a tremendous job trying to do their best to track these top 30 visits for Washington. And as Ian Rappaport mentioned, top 30 visits have to be wrapped up by this time next week. Wednesday, April the 17th is the deadline to bring in prospects for top 30 visits, as at that point we'd be 8 days away from night one, round one of the draft. To this point, Washington has had top 30 visits with, or plan to have top 30 visits with, we just heard Drake May. We heard Jaden Daniels as well from Ian Rappaport, the offensive tackle out of Arizona. Jordan Morgan has also been brought up. Yesterday, though, I'll let you all know about Michael Penix in his top 30 private workout with the Washington Commanders. This was reported last week, April 1st, by Jordan Schultz. And I know it was on April Fool's Day, so you're probably thinking, oh, is it real? Is it not? No. Jordan Schultz, one of the most plugged-in guys in the industry when it comes to this NFL draft and this NFL draft process. Jordan Schultz reported last week that Michael Penix Jr. had dinner with the Giants in Seattle after the pro day, followed by a private workout with Minnesota in Seattle. Penix scheduled to have top 30 visits with the Broncos, Falcons, Raiders, and the Washington Commanders. So that kind of lends to what I've been talking about here. They are going to do their due diligence on the process. A lot of people out there do not think Michael Penix is in consideration for that number two overall pick. If you have listened to Overtime the past two nights, you know I'm calling poppycock on that. No one knows what Washington is going to actually do. I'm so tired of us pretending to understand that we have the answers. Not only is it lying season, but just because certain people are talking does not mean everyone is talking. When it comes to this pre-draft process, it happens each and every year. There was always some sort of quote-unquote surprise that happens on draft night, whether it's a guy going higher than anticipated or lower than anticipated. This year, I think Michael Penix is probably that polarizing draft prospect. Not a consensus as to if he'll go top 10 or if he'll fall out of the first round, which is why I think he is the most polarizing prospect. I would say this, though, about Penix and every other prospect in this draft, quarterback, non-quarterback. Just because the mock draft world has a guy going somewhere in the draft, it does not necessarily mean that a guy is going to go there in the draft. I'll take it a step further. Just because a guy is loved or hated, for that matter, in the NFL media scouting community, doesn't mean that the coaches and scouts feel like that about the prospect. I think that is what is happening right now with Michael Penix. I genuinely believe that. Penix, McCarthy, Daniels, May, all of those guys I feel like are in play for Washington with that number two overall pick. I have banged on the table the past 48 hours saying that. It is not a two-horse race at quarterback for Washington. I firmly believe that it is a four-quarterback situation right now. I think Michael Penix is firmly in the fold. I think J.J. McCarthy is in consideration for the pick. I also feel like May and Daniels are in consideration for the pick. As I've said all offseason, though, no matter which way they end up going, we're at the mercy of the evaluator. I'm okay with whatever guy they end up selecting because I trust them to do the proper homework, right, to get the job done. That is what matters to me. That is what matters to me. The thing that is the big holdup for a lot of us out there is during this process, we all get emotionally attached to one prospect in particular. We all get emotionally attached to a certain guy and feel like if they don't take him, the world's gonna end. The sky's gonna fall. That's not the case here. And this year, more than any other year when Washington has gone out and drafted a quarterback, I am A-okay with whatever they do because I trust the people making the decisions. This isn't 2019 where Dan Snyder forced Jay Gruden and company's hand for Dwayne Haskins. This isn't 2012 where Dan Snyder forced the Shanahan's hand for Robert Griffin III. This isn't Jason Campbell being drafted at the back end of round one back in 2008. This is not that. Or 2006, whenever the hell Campbell was drafted. You get what I'm saying? This is different. Now, more than any other time in my fandom, I trust the brain power in Washington's front office. It's no disrespect to Martin Mayhew. It's no disrespect to Marty Herney. It's no disrespect to Ron Rivera. These guys' track record is just a hell of a lot better when it comes to selecting talent. That's just what it is at this point. So I'm going to trust them. That's why I've coined the phrase, we're at the mercy of the evaluator. All of it matters to me. This process matters. And as I've said the last two nights, I'll continue to say it here tonight. With Washington in particular, the top 30 meetings, the time that you spend off of the football field in the meeting room with these guys, the information that you do talking to former teammates, scouts, coaches, teachers, it all matters because I think for Washington more than any other QB needy team, the pressure of coming in here and succeeding is far greater here in Washington than it would be, let's use last year, for example, Houston with C.J. Stroud, Carolina with Bryce Young. This isn't, those media markets are not like here in Washington. Those franchises aren't in the situation that Washington is in. I continue to say it. This is one of the most storied franchises in all of professional sports. So the opportunity that has presented itself here in Washington, you've got to capitalize on it, meaning the front office has to get the pick right and the quarterback's got to be him. Not just on the field, but off the field as well. There is going to be extra layers of pressure and scrutiny to come in here and hit the ground running because it is Washington, D.C. It's not Carolina. It's not Houston. It's not Green Bay. It's not Minnesota. It's not Vegas. It is a pressure cooker here. So I always go back and say, when Zach Wilson was drafted to the New York Jets back in 2021, I did not like the fit because he's coming from BYU, a Christian school. No offense to BYU or Christian schools out there. You get what I'm saying, though. You do not have the pressure. You're not prepared for the New York media market playing at BYU. So I thought Justin Fields would have been a better fit there. He understands the pressure. He played at Ohio State. He was at Georgia. He gets how important it is to come in and hit the ground running and how difficult it is to deal with media scrutiny. He was prepared for it. I think Zach Wilson was. in this draft in particular, as important as the tape watching process is, as important as it is to know if a guy can check all the physical boxes, I think in this draft in particular for this team, the off-the-field stuff is just as important. What type of leader are you? What type of man are you? How do your teammates feel about you? What work ethic do you have? All of that matters and is going to come into play with this Washington Commanders quarterback decision. You all know how I get down those to people show. You can tap in with me all show long. One of two ways. MGM National Harbor Lister lines wide open. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, Dane Brugler of The Athletic, their lead draft analyst, released his yearly scouting profile, The Beast, over 390 words on all of the prospects eligible to be drafted in the 2024 NFL Draft. We'll read you Dane's thoughts on the top quarterbacks, tackles, receivers, and more. That's next here on The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Just getting rolling here on this Wednesday night edition of Overtime. It's the Youngest in Charge movement. Linnell Willingham taking up the 10 o'clock before we dish things over to Bart Winkler in CBS Sports Radio. Top of the 8 o'clock hour, we'll be joined by our pal Michael Phillips, the host of MP on the mic weekdays 10 to noon over on our sister station 910 The Fan AM in Richmond. We'll get his thoughts on Dane Brugler's The Beast. We'll get his thoughts on what the Commanders are going to do with that number 2 overall pick. There's also a couple of positions in need that I want to address with Michael Phillips as well. All that and more coming up top of the 8 o'clock hour. As I mentioned before we hit the break, Dane Brugler, the godfather. I'm going to call it what it is. The godfather of the NFL draft for The Athletic. He released his scouting reports and player rankings and what he calls The Beast. He does it each and every year. It is quite literally the top scouting guide that you'll see. He's got every position, quarterback, running back, receiver, tight end, kickers, punters. He's got his top 100 prospects in here. They're over, I just want to make sure I get this absolutely correct. In Dane Brugler's piece, there are over 1,900 testing information and scouting reports for 1,900 prospects in this thing. It is as deep and thorough of a draft guide that you would get. He's been working on this for the past 18 months. The past 18 months, man. So we're going to go through some of the top prospects and what he had to say about them and what information he's gathered here in the next two segments. I want to start with quarterback, right? Because that's obviously the position group that we all care about the most here in Washington. This is what most people wanted to hear from Dane, how he has his quarterback ranked. He's got Caleb Williams, number one out of USC. He has been the consensus number one quarterback in this draft process. Number two, though, is where the argument and discussion begins. A lot of people are torn between three or four different guys for their number two quarterback. Drake May, Jaden Daniels, J.J. McCarthy, and Michael Penix out of Washington. That has been the consensus in the scouting community. Dan Brugler says, bleep the consensus. I'll start here. He's got Drake May as his number two overall quarterback. He's got Jaden Daniels as his number three overall quarterback. He's got J.J. McCarthy as QB4 and Bo Nix out of Oregon as QB5. This is what interests me, though. He's giving grades on all these guys. He's got a round one grade on Caleb Williams. He's got a round one grade on Drake May. He has a round one grade on Jaden Daniels. He's got Daniels as his number eight overall prospect. He's got Drake May as his number four overall prospect. So if there was some confusion out there in the scouting community about, you know, if these quarterbacks were really worth a first-round grade or if they're just getting pushed up based off a team need, Dan Brugler's telling you straight up, I have all three of the top quarterbacks in my top 10 overall prospects. Now, when he gets to his QB4 is when we start to kind of see where he's viewing the guys based off of tape and who he's talked to. His QB4, as I mentioned, is J.J. McCarthy out of the University of Michigan. He has McCarthy as his number 21 overall rated prospect. So first round grade, but not really in the realm of where most pundits are projecting him to go. His QB5 is Bo Nix. And this is where you see the massive drop off, according to Dan Brugler. Now, I'm not saying his word is gospel, but he does his homework and he has a mixed bag result on his quarterback prospects throughout the years. So if he's given somebody a round one grade, doesn't necessarily mean it's gospel, doesn't necessarily mean they are that good. The drop-off, though, comes when he gets to Bo Nix out of Oregon. A lot of people have pegged Bo Nix as a round one quarterback. If you listen to Charles Davis of the NFL Network, he's got six quarterbacks going in round one, Bo Nix being one of them. He's got Bo Nix as his 44th prospect overall, and he has a round two to round three grade on him. Take that for what it's worth. This is what he says overall about Nix. Overall, Nix gets in trouble when he plays loose with his technique and his eyes speed up on him, but he understands where to go with the football and his scrambling can give defenses fits. Though it feels unlikely that he will ever rank amongst the 15 best quarterbacks in the NFL, he has the tools to become the middle-of-the-road starter. He had this to say about Michael Penix, who he has as QB6, and he's got a second- to third-round grade on Penix, number 52 overall in the class. He says this, overall, Penix is inconsistent in several key areas, including mechanics, anticipation, and pressure reaction. But his arm confidence and willingness to attack every square inch of the field can be a productive formula in the right situation. His mental toughness will be a strong selling point in NFL draft rooms. That last line, talking about the mental toughness for Michael Penix, is a big reason why I'm an advocate for Washington to take a long, hard look at Penix with that number two overall pick. I just think what he's put on tape the past 2 years at Washington is undeniable. I know people have concerns about the age and the injury history. He hadn't been injured in 3 years, and by the time he's at the end of his rookie contract in the NFL, he will be 29 years old. Good enough to get a second contract, right? Let's just put it to you like this. For all the folks that have injury concerns and age concerns about Michael Penix, at the end of his first contract, he'll be 29. If he plays good enough to earn a second contract, at the end of that one, he'll be 34, 35. Plenty of quarterbacks in the NFL that have had success at that age. going through some of the top quarterbacks that Dane Brugler of The Athletic has on his board when it comes to the Beast, his 2024 NFL draft guide. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll look at some other positions of need for the Commanders and how Dane Brugler sees them laid out in the Beast, his 2024 NFL draft guide. All of that coming up next here on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Three minutes past the hour here in our nation's capital, 703 on your dial. You're tapped into the Youngest in Charge movement. It's overtime here on 106.7 The Fan. We're always streaming live nationally on the free Odyssey app. I'll take you up to 10 o'clock before handing things over to Bart Winkler and CBS Sports Radio. Programming note, top of the 8 o'clock hour, our pal Michael Phillips, the host of MP on the mic, weekdays 10 to noon over on our sister station, 910 The Fan AM in Richmond. He is set to join us. We get his thoughts on all things burgundy and gold as we sit 15 days out from night one, round one of the 2024 NFL draft. No other time of year gets me geeked up like draft season does. No other time of year gets Dane Brugler geeked up like draft season does. He has released The Beast, what I call the most thorough, in-depth scouting notebook on the top prospects coming up in the 2024 NFL draft. 1,900 prospects Dane Brugler has done extensive scouting reports on. And we talked about the quarterback position. He's got a table of contents and all of that. So if you haven't subscribed to The Athletic, you're a nut and aren't getting the best football content. So make sure you do that. We talked about quarterback and how quarterback was viewed in Dane Brugler's eyes. There's one guy in particular I want to go out and read the scouting report for. And I know Jaden Daniels has been linked to Washington. So I want to read you what Dane Brugler had to say overall about Drake May and Jaden Daniels, two guys that have been rumored to Washington the most. I preface that by saying, I think it's a four-horse race for who Washington could potentially take at the quarterback position. But here's what Dane Brugler had to say about Jaden Daniels, who he has as his number eight overall prospect in the class of 2024. He said, overall, Daniels is a smooth point guard from the pocket. He said, overall, Daniels is a smooth point guard from the pocket when his eyes stay on schedule and his dazzling run skills make him a problem for defenses. This isn't an apples-to-apples comparison, but scouts say he forces opponents to defend him like Lamar Jackson. That matters to me. That matters to me. And scouting community agrees with it. Some folks out there are going to say, well, he doesn't have the same wiggle as Lamar Jackson. What did Dane say? It's not an apples-to-apples comparison, but he forces opponents to defend him like Lamar Jackson. The fact that Jaden is number eight overall in the class for Dane Brugler tells you what NFL folks are thinking about Jaden Daniels. When it comes to the draft, I think Brugler is pretty spot on.
sometimes, right? Because we all know this is a crapshoot and you can't get everyone's opinion. But he does a good job vetting NFL evaluators on what they think about the top guys. And at 6'3", 210, he mentions that in terms of weaknesses, the slender bone structure with lean features and limited growth potential is the biggest issue for Jaden Daniels. Other issues that he lists for JD, processing in terms of leaving reads too quickly. Everyone to a man would say the processing has improved immensely for Daniels, but he leaves reads too quickly. They say he's more likely to scramble than create second chance throws when pressured. He lived outside the numbers in LSU's offense. The accuracy struggles. When he adds velocity to the throws, he usually misses high. They say he can be more precise with his ball placement to make things easier on the receivers. That's important to me because he has played with two of the top receivers in this class, talking about Brian Thomas Jr. and Malik Nabers. So if he doesn't have two bona fide studs like that that make him right more times than not, is accuracy an issue with him? They also talk about him taking the hits, and he goes on to say that he benefited from elite wide receiver talent in LSU, and he turns 24 as a rookie. I don't care about the age thing, but I do think that is a good, accurate assessment of Jaden Daniels' game. He also goes on to say his processing skills are ascending, but still have plenty of room for improvement. He is a cat that everyone to a man will tell you 2023 for Jaden was not an outlier, but really the best version of Jaden Daniels. And that had a lot to do with the team that he had around him. I still am one to believe that during his 14 starts in 2022, he was damn good. The numbers just weren't as gaudy from a passing perspective. 17 touchdowns to 3 interceptions, but he had 11 touchdowns on the ground. The yards per carry jumped in 2023 because he became more of a threat as a passer. Went from 4.8 yards a carry in 2022 to 8.4 yards a carry this past year. So literally doubling that. So Jaden interests me. Jaden is the guy that a lot of people think is going to be the presumptive favorite for Washington with that number two overall pick. So I wanted to read you a little bit of what Brugler had to say about him. The Drake May stuff is just as interesting. This is what he had to say overall about May. He says, overall, May needs to cut down on the reckless decisions, but he is a well-put-together passer with the on-field command, athletic instincts, and arm talent to create solutions for the problems that NFL defenses will ultimately present. With his physical gifts and smarts, he is cut from the same cloth as Justin Herbert and has a similar ceiling as an NFL player. What Dane is repeating is a lot of what folks have said about Drake May during this pre-draft process. He has May as his number four overall prospect, his number two QB overall. Now, the one thing that Dane Brugler does highlight here with Drake May in the weaknesses is reeling back some of the bad habits in the pocket, like excessively bouncing on his feet, fading away from throws. The accuracy in the footwork is really where Drake May has gotten trouble. The accuracy is above average, but the arm gets juiced up, is what Brugler says, and he'll miss some of the layups. To me, May and his inaccuracy and the accuracy issues is sort of a non-starter for me. Because at the NFL level, while the coaching will improve, you're going to still be put in less than ideal circumstances, especially here in Washington, when you think about our situation at offensive line and the other pass rushers that exist in the NFC East. He is going to have to get better and eliminate some of the bad habits that he's got. The turnovers are also an issue for Drake May. 16 career interceptions, 12 of which came within the second half of games. He's got 10 fumbles over the past two seasons as well. And Brugler notes this, and this has been a big no-no for me because I'm of the belief you're only as good as your last game. His most two inconsistent performances in college came in the final 2 weeks of his college career at Clemson and at NC State this past year. I agree with the scouting community that he has physical traits and tools that really wow you as an evaluator and make you think there's a whole lot of meat on the bone. But the only thing that I would continue to go back to is he misses too much. Footwork, accuracy, major flaws of his. He reminds me a lot of Mitch Trubisky coming out of North Carolina several years ago. He's like the combo of Mitch and Sam Howell all in one. And some people are going to tell you that, look, Drake May lost offensive linemen. Drake May wasn't in the most ideal set of circumstances. When we're evaluating these prospects, you can't not knock May for that and then knock a guy like Jaden Daniels for having that good stuff, quote unquote, around him. That's the only thing that annoys me with this process is some of the inconsistencies that we have. Gave you the stuff from Dane Brugler on the quarterback position. I want to get an offensive tackle here real quick because O-tackle, as we know, another massive need for the Washington Commanders. O-tackle is a huge need for the Burgundy and Gold. He has got 6 tackles with first-round grades. He has got 12 guys going within the top 3 rounds in terms of their grade. His O-tackle commentary is really interesting to me because a lot of people out there are going to tell you that there are going to be maybe 10 offensive tackles that go in round one. Joe Alt, Olufoshinu, J.C. Latham, Talese Fuaga, Mims, Tyler Guyton, Kingsley Suamatia, Patrick Paul, and Roger Rosengarten is the other guy that's kind of creeped up in here into the first round discussion. When it comes to these tackle prospects in the draft, Joe Alt, Olufosinu, people have as their consensus guys, talking about 1 and 2. He's got Joe Alt as the 5th best player in the class. He's got Fashanu as the 12th best player in the class. Those two guys probably aren't going to be in striking distance for Washington. The guys that I want to focus on more is the guys that are projected to go late 1st, early 2nd. Your Tyler Guyton's, Kingsley Suamatia. He's got Brandon Coleman out of TCU. Roger Rosengarten, as I mentioned, out of Washington. Blake Fisher out of Notre Dame. Those are the guys that interest me. And I want to start with the guy that a lot of people are linking to Washington. And that is Tyler Guyton out of the University of Oklahoma. Brugler had this to say overall about Guyton. Overall, Guyton is a work in progress in several areas and has a steep learning curve that can be expected during his rookie season. But he has the athletic tools and fundamental skills to develop into a high-level offensive tackle. He has the talent to play left or right tackle, although his comfort is clearly on the right. As long as he stays motivated and healthy, he will continue on an upward trajectory. Tyler Guyton, a lot of people expect him to go in round one. I don't see any mocks here recently to have him going in round two. We talked about it a couple of nights ago here on Overtime. I think Washington is in position to package two of their second-round picks to move up back into the first round and get a tackle. If I was Washington, I would be hell-bent on doing that because I think tackle is a massive need for this group. But when I hear things about Guyton, like he's not ready to play, I hear that for Guyton. That has been said about Suamatia. That's also been said about Patrick Paul, which is why, to me, I'm doing what I can to trade back up into round one and get a guy that's going to be ready to come in and play. I think Cornelius Lucas gives you a little bit of wiggle room to not start your rookie tackle from day one because he's going to be ready to play. But I still wouldn't trust it. I still don't want Corn Lucas starting for me week one. If I'm going to go up and get a tackle, Amarius Mims, Olufoshinu may slide. Guyton's a guy that I think you'll have to move up for. Either way, the tackle position, we're going to have patience with it. And he's got Guyton as his 27th best player in a first and second round grade on him. I've seen Guyton mocked as high as 20. So if you're Washington, he's a guy that I'd be intrigued with. Kingsley Suamatia is another guy out of BYU who I think Washington should be really interested in. 2-year starter, played left tackle this past year. This is what Brugler had to say about him. Suamatia is very young and lacks refinement in several areas, but his blend of size, mobility, and core power are the foundation of a scheme-diverse NFL starter. He will require patience, but he's going to be able to turn into a good pro. It feels like that has been the talk and discussion with a lot of these top guys. I'm here to tell you straight up, doesn't bother me that a guy is going to take a little bit of time to develop, because I think personally with offensive linemen, I think it is going to be easier for them to develop, quote unquote, if they're able to play. That's my big thing. That's my big thing. If you let them play, let them take their lumps, you can allow them and give them the time to grow into a good, solid starter. But here with Washington, if you're going to have Jayden Daniels under center, or you're going to have Drake May or McCarthy or Penix or a rookie, do you want a tackle that's ready to come in and play right away? Because you don't want to risk messing up your young quarterback. A lot of different ways you can go here with this. But Dane Brugler, as I mentioned at the top of the segment, what I'm really interested in is he has got 12 guys with a round 1-3 grade at tackle. Washington probably needs to walk away, best case scenario, two of those guys. Obviously, one of them is likely, two is a stretch. But when you look at the rest of the tackle grades here, and drafted and undrafted guys are different here. He's got 24 tackles that he thinks will get drafted. And when you get down to guy number 27, Mike Edwards out of Campbell, he's got him as a preferred free agent. It's not the type of guys we're interested in. 24 draftable grades at tackle from Dane Brugler, 12 of which come within rounds 1-3. Now, he does not have a certain prospect on here that I'm super enamored by, and that is Jordan Morgan out of the University of Arizona. He's got Jordan Morgan listed as an offensive guard, which is pretty interesting to me, is the best way that I would put it. He's got Jordan Morgan listed as an offensive guard. A lot of folks think Jordan Morgan is going to be a tackle at the next level. Didn't give up any sacks during his time at Arizona. He is a guy that I think Washington should be interested in trading for. He had this to say about Jordan Morgan, who he's got as offensive guard number two. Overall, Morgan struggles to anchor mid-slide versus power, but he is a balanced mover who is well-schooled and physical in all phases. Though he can survive at tackle in the NFL, his skill set projects much better at guard, similar to a guy like Matthew Bergeron, who came out last year from the University of Syracuse. We've seen this before with draft prospects and guys thinking they're going to be better at guard. Whatever team drafts Jordan Morgan, especially if it's in the first round, they're going to try him out at tackle. It may be a situation like Sam Cosmi where he's better kicked inside at guard. I'm okay with them drafting him in the second round and turning him into a guard, because you need three starters up front. Biotish, clear starter. Sam Cosmi, clear starter. You need two tackles and another guard. If Jordan Morgan ends up as your guard, I'm not going to poo-poo on it. I'm going to be A-okay with it. But at the end of the day, Washington needs to leave the draft with three starters up front. And with picks 36 and 40, I don't know if you go back-to-back offensive linemen, but you have an opportunity to plug two of those holes right then and there. The other thing I want to talk about with the offensive line and a potential way that you can add talent is post-June 1 cuts. There are going to be veterans out there across the NFL when teams fill their needs along the offensive line through the draft. There are going to be post-June 1 cuts that happen. If you're Washington, it'd be super smart to try to dive in on those guys. We'll see what ends up happening, though. If you didn't get the chance to check out the Beast, subscribe to The Athletic and follow me on Twitter. It's at NELL_BTP. I'm going to retweet it right now so you can go through and look at Dane Brugler. He's got 1,900 prospects with in-depth scouting reports on each of those guys. Make sure you check it out to see who Washington could potentially be looking at here in the NFL draft. I mentioned, I think it is a four-quarterback race for the Washington Commanders with that number two overall pick. When we come back, a very plugged-in insider from NBC Sports Boston says he's hearing a certain quarterback is at the top of both New England's draft board and Washington's draft board. All that and more next here on The Fan.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Still rocking and rolling. It's overtime here on 106.7 The Fan. We're always streaming live nationally on the free Odyssey app. It's the Youngest in Charge movement. Linnell Willingham taking up the 10 o'clock before we hand things over to CBS Sports Radio. We will continue the conversation surrounding the Washington Commanders and what they ultimately will do at the quarterback position in the draft. I've said it the past two nights here on overtime. I firmly believe, despite all of the hogwash, minutia, the rumors, the rumor mill, despite everything that you are hearing, we know that it's lying season. But I always say, not everybody's lying. It is lying season, but the hard thing to decipher is who's lying, who's truthing. Point blank, period. Now, based on everything that I've heard throughout the entirety of this process, I've had this awakening of sorts the past 48 hours. I genuinely feel like four quarterbacks are in play right now for the Washington Commanders in the first round. And with that number two pick, quite frankly. Now, obviously, I'll continue to say this. Deadlines spur action. I am not going to rule out the possibility of Washington trading out of that number two pick. And here is why. Deadline spur action. Adam Peters said it multiple times throughout this offseason when it comes to that trade and that number two pick. They are going to do what is absolutely best for the franchise. Point blank, period. And some people out there may feel like, you know what? What's best for the franchise is taking a quarterback at two. Doesn't matter what you think, though. We're at the mercy of the evaluator. Deadline spur action. We may not get the best offer for Washington's number two overall pick until draft night. Meaning, Adam Peters and company have had conversations, preliminary discussions to this point, and all that you've heard is that, nah, Washington's not really interested in trading that pick. Washington's not really interested in moving back. Let me use an example here. You can say that you don't like Chipotle. You can say that Chipotle is nasty. You don't like the brown rice. You don't like how heavy-handed they are with the sour cream. Your ass gonna like Chipotle, though, if someone's offering you $1,000 to eat a bowl. You get what I'm saying here? You cannot be interested in moving out of that number two overall pick, but if Minnesota offers you 11-23 and a first round next year and a second round this year, I guarantee you, you're going to think long and hard about moving off of that pick. So that's why I say we're at the mercy of the evaluator. It's lying season. That best offer for that pick probably won't come until Washington is on the clock two Thursdays from now. That's just the way it is. But until then, me, other media members around the country are going to continue to speculate on what they want Washington to do with that number two overall pick. I mentioned I think it's a four quarterback race. Our pal Michael Holly, longtime insider for NBC Sports Boston, had this to say about who he's hearing is the top quarterback on New England's board and Washington's board.
There's a really good chance he could wind up on the New England Patriots. I'm hearing more and more, seriously.
I'm hearing more and more chatter that J.J. McCarthy is high, if not first, on the boards of the Washington Commanders and the New England Patriots. He may be QB1 for both of those teams.
Give me more.
So I wouldn't be, I know I've dismissed it here. I'm going to have to dial that back. I've been told that I may need to dial it back a little bit and that it is not a crazy thought to say that J.J. McCarthy is going to go in the top five and maybe the top three.
And including New England. New England is high.
New England.
Mm. Well, as we all know, it's lying season. But as I continue to say, not everybody is lying. This is now the second time during this pre-draft process that we have heard J.J. McCarthy linked to the Washington Commanders. Now, do I think it's a foregone conclusion that it happens? I don't know. But I damn sure think it's within the realm of possibility. And that matters to me. That matters to me. How would I feel about J.J. McCarthy being drafted here to Washington? How would I feel if J.J. McCarthy was the top quarterback on Washington's board? I don't know how I'd feel. I do know this. I'd be on board for it. Why? Because we're at the mercy of the evaluator. Thank you. That's why I'd be on board for it. Now, I want to bring you back to the Beast, Dane Brugler's report. He had J.J. McCarthy as the number four quarterback in this class. And he had McCarthy with a first to second round grade, and he had him as the number 21 overall prospect in the entire class. The J.J. McCarthy stuff has been fascinating because he has continued to skyrocket up draft boards as the process has played out here. There's a lot to like about J.J. McCarthy. I will say that. There's a lot to like. Two-year starter. Production's decent. He's a leader. He's a winner. I get all of that. With J.J. McCarthy in particular, though, I have some pause and I have some reservations. But one thing that you continue to hear amongst the scouting community when it comes to J.J. McCarthy is when evaluating him, you have to have a lot of projection. There's a lot of projection when it comes to J.J. McCarthy because, quite frankly, on tape, he displays some good traits, but it doesn't happen as much as you'd like because of where he played his college football at. This is what Dane Brugler had to say about McCarthy. Overall, McCarthy's evaluation feels incomplete, which creates even more projection than normal. But his passing skills, pocket athleticism, and mental makeup are all ascending and create optimism for his NFL future. Although bumps along the way should be expected, he has the package of tools to become an NFL starter early in his career. Now, this is the other thing that gets me when it comes to McCarthy, as well as Drake May, and why I have reservations about those guys. Washington, I don't think, is in position to have their rookie quarterback come in here and not start day one. They're just not. The fan base would be insufferable. The media would question it. But here's the thing. I don't want Adam Peters and Dan Quinn and company worried about what I have to say, what fans have to say, and what the media has to say. I want them to do what's best for the organization. And when they feel like taking McCarthy is best for the organization, then so be it. Remember, though, as I continue to say, this is the second time we have seen J.J. McCarthy being linked to the Commanders. We had Tom Pelissero out at the owners' meetings in Orlando come out and throw gasoline on the fire that is J.J. McCarthy to Washington. So when Pelissero's saying it, Michael Holley's now saying it, there's got to be some sort of truth to Washington's interest in J.J. McCarthy. I firmly believe that. I want to take your calls, though. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. What would your thoughts be if Washington does indeed decide to go with J.J. McCarthy, does the college tape, does the college career warrant a first-round pick for J.J. McCarthy? Let's go to Little out in Bowie. What's going on, Little?
What's going on, big fella? You got to change your heart. Shout out to your man, Don, Uptown Don. You got to change your heart with McCarthy, huh?
I do have a change of heart with McCarthy.
I tell you what, Linnell, he looks sharp from the pocket, that's for sure. But, man, I'm telling you, man, I'm trying to find out what Chris, what Rooster hearing this stuff about what Daniel said. I mean, because if that stuff ain't on IG or X, man, you can't. I'm telling you, man, Rooster tickled me. He killed me sometimes, man. I'm like, man, Rooster run with everything. You can't run with everything, Rooster. I know he's listening. He just like that little guy on Gulliver's Trial, man. You never make it. You never make it. Hey, look, I told A-Y, you was Gulliver. You the smart one. You the big giant. but I understand, Ruff. I'm saying, Ruff. And yeah, Russell is a little biased because he was crazy about Kirk Cousins a couple years ago when it came to RG3. But he's biased in the right, righteous way. You know, I can't see nothing else about that. You know, he like his player. He like what he see. But look, if we don't get Daniels, man, something ain't right. I'm gonna let you go, man.
I appreciate the call. Yes, sir, Little. I appreciate you tapping in always. I know a lot of folks feel like it's Jaden Daniels or bust. A lot of folks feel like it's starting to lean towards Jaden Daniels. I think that very well may be true. But I'll say this in terms of who Washington should take with the pick, I've let it be known all draft process long. Caleb Williams is my consensus number one. If Williams isn't on the board when Washington picks, I would take Jaden Daniels. Point blank, period. Now, the one interesting thing about Jaden Daniels is we've heard some stuff come out about Jaden Daniels during this pre-draft process. We've heard more negative stuff surrounding Daniels than any other of the top four quarterback prospects. And we knew all the baggage, apparently, that came with Caleb Williams. But that noise has been silenced for the majority of this process. Jaden Daniels is the guy we continue to hear stuff about. Does that concern you? Does it make you not interested in Jaden Daniels? Should Washington be listening to what folks are saying, or should they do their own homework and their own evaluation? Obviously, the correct answer is the latter, but we know how this process works. Folks talk. Point blank, period. Folks talk. And I think that has happened with Jaden Daniels. We talked about it earlier. I did 1-4 earlier today on the Team 980 with Chris Russell. Evan Silva of EstablishTheRun.com put in his mock draft yesterday that he is hearing Jaden Daniels does not want to go to Washington. Evan Silva texted with Chris Russell saying, look, I got this from two pretty plugged-in sources, but I don't want to come on because I don't want to tarnish my reputation and my credibility if it comes to fruition. So folks are talking during this process. That's what I continue to say. It's lying season, but everybody ain't lying. That's the hard part about this. Trying to have the discernment to figure out who's lying and who's truthing, as I like to call it. 1-800-636-1067 is the number on the MGM National Harbor Listener Lines. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. Chris Russell just sent me a text. It said, I got into my car and within 5 minutes, Little's dragging my name across the radio. Damn it, Rooster. At least you're listening. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. What is your reaction to the Michael Holly report? How would you feel if Washington does go with McCarthy? And then we'll let you hear, and I read the piece from Evan Silver yesterday, and I just read it here again. Are you out on Jaden Daniels? Let me rephrase that. Is there any level of concern about some of the negative press that has come out about Jaden Daniels? Andy is in Sterling. Wants to tap in first. What's going on, Andy?
Well, my brother. Hey, man. You know, you are wise beyond your years. But that talk of pumping up J.J. McCarthy as a possible 4 or 5 pick and literally landing at number 2 with the Commanders, literally, that talk makes me want to crap my pants.
Well, easy, man, there, Andy. It might be realistic. You might want to get a change of draws.
Man, I'm telling tell you, man, I don't understand this, all this hullabaloo over this guy. It's not like he had a great collegiate career. He started 2 years at Michigan with a great head coach, a monster offensive line, monster running backs, really decent receivers, great defense. He was the ultimate game manager. And now to project him at number two with the Commanders, if they pick him at number two, I will totally have lost all faith in Adam Peters and this brain trust at finding us a quarterback. You got to remember, these Adam Peters was part of the brain trust. They gave up three number ones for Trey Lance.
Well, but then, hey, go ahead.
But then got damn lucky when they were able to pick Purdy, the last pick in the draft. Otherwise, San Francisco never would have made it to the playoffs. Once again, man, they picked this guy. We are in big, serious trouble. Not only do they have to address, they have to make sure they pick the right guy at quarterback, they have to make sure they pick the right offensive tackles.
That's huge.
Because if they don't, they'll throw whoever they pick at number one, and you're saying they should start him from day one. They are going to send him to the Wolves. What they should have done, what Peter should have done, was keep Sam Howell, played him the first year, let the rookie quarterback get his feet wet, then say, okay, it's yours now, rookie boy. But now, I tell you what, I am so pissed off at Peters for, like I've said before, for trading Holloway, giving him up for nothing. And now they have to pick a quarterback, and now they have to start this quarterback. Otherwise, they're going to have to play that knucklehead who walked out on his teammates.
Yeah. Talking about Mariota. Andy,
yeah, right.
The one thing I would say, Andy, is I agree with you on I don't want to see Marcus Mariota. But I'm not going to crap my pants, as you said, if they select J.J. McCarthy. I understand the lack of production, but if everyone's saying this about the guy, it's got to be true, right? I don't know. It's
isn't that just basically some hoping that some stupid team makes a pick and gives up the farm to draft this guy? How many smoke screens have you heard before?
We have. I give you that, Andy. We've heard smoke screen on smoke screen on smoke screen. I appreciate that.
And
call.
You know damn well you've been saying it. They
yes.
lie, they lie, they lie. I'm not. You know what? My big wish is they take that number two and they trade it for multiple draft choice for the first stupid team that's willing to give up a couple number ones, couple number twos. That's my wish, brother.
Andy, I hope your wish comes true, low key. Appreciate the call. I'm in the minority here. I would be okay if they trade back. I know everyone out there is Jaden Daniels or bust right now. The Drake May supporters, y'all were loud at first, but damn. Let's go to Javel in D.C. What's going on?
Hey, what's up, Linnell?
What's going on?
Hey, man, I listen all the time. So I wanted to call in and just say about the all the negative stuff that they're talking about Jaden Daniels. That just makes me think that he's the best option for us to get, because when they doing that, they trying to push him down.
Yep.
They want him to fall, you know, and that's what I think it is. And not only the executives who doing it, but you know, when it comes to the analytics and all the people who do that, man, I don't trust none of that stuff. I trust my eyes, and what I see on the field is, I think he's better than all of them. But after Caleb, it has to be Jaden for me. But I'm a fan of the team, so whoever we get, I'm rolling with it. Trading back, getting multiple picks is always a good option. Depends if somebody blow our socks off, and it's something that you know that's good for the future. But right now, I'm saying, like, I'm in the Jaden camp.
Let me ask you this, Javel. Is there any guy that if they select, you'd have an issue with?
If they select J.J. McCarthy with the number two overall pick, I would kind of have an issue. But, you know, being a lifelong fan, I'm going to believe in it, though. I'm
going to
go with it and get my
hopes
up.
Tell it how it is, Javel. You're an addict just like I am. I'm wearing the patch right now.
There's nothing that they can do. I'm going to rally around it.
Come on,
you know,
exactly.
So the first night when they call his name, I'm going to be ticked off for a couple seconds, and then I'm going to get right on the train.
At least you're honest. At least you're honest, Javel. Yeah. I appreciate the call as always, my brother. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. If you're on the line, stay there. We'll continue to take your calls. We'll play you again the report from Michael Holly of NBC Sports Boston. He says that J.J. McCarthy is the top quarterback on Washington's board and New England's board. How would you feel if Washington went with J.J. McCarthy?
Plus, who do you think should have the most say-so in who Washington drafts a quarterback? We'll tackle that next as well. This is The Fan.
There's a really good chance he could wind up on the New England Patriots. I'm hearing more and more, seriously. I'm hearing more and more chatter that J.J. McCarthy is high, if not first, on the boards of the Washington Commanders and the New England Patriots. He may
that
be.
That is Michael Holly of NBC Sports Boston giving the latest on what he's hearing about the Commanders board and the Patriots board. We know how plugged in he is with the New England stuff, being that he works for NBC Sports Boston. But to have that to say and puff your chest out and think that you know what's going on here in D.C., it perks my ears up, and it's why we're talking about it. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. If Washington goes with J.J. McCarthy, how will you react? And is there any quarterback that Washington would draft that would make you turn your nose up? 1-800-636-1067 is the number. We got Michael Phillips coming up top of the 8 o'clock hour. We get a couple of calls in before that. Sean is in PG County. What's the tap in? What's going on, Sean?
Hey, what's going on in there?
How you doing?
Just help me understand something.
Mm-hmm.
So J.J. McCarthy came from Michigan, a run-heavy offense, because yep. Harbaugh decided that was the best, that was strength of the team and the best way for them to win. Jaden Daniels came from a pass-heavy offense with two wide receivers that he gets dinged for because he had talent. He can't throw across the middle when the answers were on the outside. That's what we're going to throw. And
yeah.
Third, they were the least. Their third down percentage was the team was the least amount of third downs or the yards that they had. They had the least amount of third downs in college. But McCarthy is going to be a number two quarterback pick and on a run first team. I just don't understand that, and I don't believe it. I believe that they're going to trade back with New England because New England can do that. They've had 20 years with Tom Brady. They can play games with McCarthy and reward Harbaugh. They can reward the Harbaugh connection
right.
and say, yeah, play. You know, that's the NFL. Get them drafted. We won a national championship. Yeah. Yeah, they can play that game. But if he mess around with McCarthy, if Peters mess around with J.J. McCarthy, that'll be his last GM job.
Mm. Strong stuff, Sean. I'll say this. If they do go with McCarthy, how would you react, Sean?
If they go with McCarthy, like I said, even Daniels, I'm not pro Daniels because 80% of the guys who think they know it all get this wrong.
They
Show me the quarterback guru that gets this right. So what you're telling me is I'm going to pick the guy with the least volume of passes
when 80%
of us get it wrong?
It's crushing me because I'm trying to think of an evaluation that's similar. It reminds me of Mitch Trubisky coming out of UNC back in the day, man. He was in the same class, I believe, as Watson, as well as was that Mahomes in that draft as well when Mitch Trubisky came out?
Yeah, I believe so. And we saw how that turned out.
Yeah, and the knock on Trubisky for me is he just didn't have enough experience in college. He was a 1-year starter. McCarthy's a 2-year starter. But as you continue to mention, Sean, and it's hard because I'm starting to drink the Kool-Aid a little bit too. I ain't perfect. When you when you watch him though, there are. You can even look on YouTube, man. Google it. There are big boy throws that he makes. The one thing that, to his credit, that I would say, whenever Michigan was in these third and long situations, McCarthy bailed him out a lot of times than not. You know, more times than not. So
in college,
though,
in the NFL, those are going to be sacks. Those players are going to be tight, checked by cornerbacks. It's not the same.
Yeah.
They had a stacked offensive line. He had minimal trash at his feet. He was sitting back there. I watched his
tape. Circumstances were always ideal for him. Yeah, I give you that.
They were, but he doesn't get dinged for that.
Yeah.
But you constantly bring up neighbors and
yep.
Brian Thomas when we talk about Jaden Daniels. And this is one last thing I want to make.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that Burrow, I'm not going to compare Burrows to Daniels, but I understand that when Burrows had Edwards-Helaire and
Chase, all his, Higgins.
Yes, no one said he had the greatest college season of all time because he had pro NFL wide receivers and NFL running backs all over the place. I just did
Justin
not
Jefferson, I meant to say, not T.
Higgins.
But
Justin
I get what
Jefferson,
you mean. Yeah.
Lamar Charles, I mean, but I never heard that. It was all that how great Burrow is, I don't understand it.
It makes the process fascinating, Sean. I appreciate the call as always, my man. 1-800-636 1067 is the number. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. You heard what Michael Holly had to say from NBC Sports Boston. He says Washington and New England has McCarthy as the top quarterback in the class. Here's what Dane Brugler had to say on the weaknesses of one J.J. McCarthy. This is the one that I'm going to continue to read. Was he consistently required to get beyond his first or second read? Guilty of bird dogging where he wants to go with the throw and must develop his eye skills to manipulate coverage. His general accuracy is a strength to his game, but his ball placement will suffer at times when he rushes throws. He's still developing his touch to layer passes over the linebacker and in front of the safeties. There aren't many examples on tape of him adjusting protections at the line. Only 795 career backups and played in an offense and leaned on the run. So a lot of us saying the same thing the scouts are saying when it comes to J.J. McCarthy. John Holly, though, says despite all of that, Washington and New England have him as the top quarterback on the board. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, top of the 8 o'clock hour, we'll have our first guest stop by the program, our pal Michael Phillips, the host of MP on the Mic, weekdays 10 to noon on our sister station, 910 The Fan AM in Richmond. We'll get his thoughts on whether or not J.J. McCarthy is QB1 on the Commander's board. That's next here on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.